This is the Rebel Room, Las Vegas Sun. Welcome in, maybe the most exciting podcast of the year, at least as far as I'm concerned. It's Selection Sunday. We've got the brackets printed out. Ray Brewer, sports editor, LasVegasSun.com. I am Taylor Byrne. UNLV is going to Albuquerque, the sixth seed, playing Colorado. The other team in their pod, three seed Baylor, who would have to get past the Jackrabbits of South Dakota State. Ray, my first reaction is that this is basically the best that UNLV could have done.
And I don't dispute that. I think a sixth seed, especially when you look at the history, Taylor, of the Mountain West Conference, and you consider, you know, San Diego State, New Mexico, five and a sixth seed, and Colorado State, which was kind of on that bubble with an 11 seed, you can't complain about. If you look at the past history of the league and kind of their disappointments on Selection Sunday, I think today more than makes up for it. It maybe even signals a minor victory for the Mountain West Conference that of the mid-majors, it might be the best mid-major with the quality of basketball we have this year. But UNLV can't complain. A number six seed, a lot better than what we've had the past 2 years, and the 8-9 line, and having a look at Kansas, one of the best four teams nationally in the round of 32. So UNLV definitely should be happy with their seed and their draw. Colorado, a team that while they're hot by winning the Pac-12 tournament, they weren't a tournament team until they got on that streak and won probably a pretty poor league as well.
Yeah, and the seeding, but I think the location is big as anything. This was the closest spot for what is now deemed the second round. I still think of it as the first round games. Dave said they either wanted Portland or Albuquerque. Albuquerque was the first choice. So to get your first choice of city, a six seed when this morning it looked like maybe a seven in Omaha, to have that both work out for you, they got to be ecstatic, obviously. And you mentioned Colorado. I don't want to jump on with the fans who just assume that it's going to be UNLV Baylor in the second round, because we've seen year after year that upsets happen. And considering this team hasn't won an NCAA tournament game in 4 years, you don't want to just put it past it. But as far as 11 seeds go, very beatable team.
I agree with you. And here's the bottom line: NCAA tournament. Throw the numbers to the left of your brackets out the window. You know, you've seen Butler in the national title game the past 2 years. VCU in the quote-unquote playing game, and they go to the Final Four last year. So the number, who cares about that? What I'm concerned with is a team playing its best basketball of the year, and other factors such as, you know, travel, you know, days off and the whole nine yards. And Colorado, based on that, Denver and New Mexico, not that far.
Yeah.
Colorado, one of the hottest teams in the nation. I don't care, to win that Pac-12 tournament in L.A., they got to be feeling good about themselves. Now, I could play devil advocate and say,
and the thing is,
their season's over, baby. They've won. They're getting their rings. Who cares? They're just happy to be here.
Yeah, and you could say that they're one of the hottest teams, but you could probably pick at least 70 teams randomly in the country who could beat three Pac-12 teams in a row. Like, it's not exactly a murderer's row that they went through. And the fact that, you know, Arizona and Colorado were the ones playing in the conference title game, neither of them was going to the tournament without winning that game. And that's out of a power conference. I mean, that league, it's been known all year, was severely down. So they've won a few games, but I don't want to give too much credence to picking off a few Pac-12 foes.
Yeah, and if you look at all the one seeds, North Carolina lost today in the ACC game. Syracuse lost today in the Big East. I mean, lost last week in the Big East. Kentucky lost today to Vanderbilt. Michigan State, the only one seed that won its league tournament.
Pretty rare.
So you're right, there's a lot of teams like a Florida State that's got to be feeling good about itself right now. But I just, listen.
Quick aside on Florida State, if I was a betting man, I would be fading them completely. I think they're going to be way overconfident and probably get too big a number.
I think they're content. They're like that guy that's been in a relationship for 3 years and he's going to go get anything out of the refrigerator. Colorado, Florida State. That's my theory. I think there are certain teams that their seasons are already successes and they're already accomplished. And even if they are to lose, They lost. So what? Yeah, getting there is half the work.
I don't want to throw in Colorado and Florida State in the same pool. Florida State had already beaten Duke and North Carolina this year before doing it again in the conference tournament. They've been basically a kind of top 20, top 30 team for a lot of the year. They are very good. I just think that because of what they did in the ACC conference tournament, the number that they're given might be a little too big in the first couple of rounds. That's all I'm saying there.
Well, I guess before we talk about UNLV specifically, if you look at the four, and this is just, folks, you got to understand, this is like an hour and a half after the brackets came out. Taylor and I are trying to digest this as much as you are. But if you look at UNLV's South region, to me, it looks like the easiest region to navigate. Duke is having a down year. Notre Dame and Xavier don't scare me at all. Baylor, everybody thinks, is a walkover, even though I disagree. Indiana, I think, is lucky to be there. I'm talking here, sir. New Mexico State, they're garbage. Wichita State already beat UNLV. VCU, whatever it's worth. Connecticut having a down year. Iowa State, I'm not impressed with. And Kentucky. Kentucky's got to be getting a parade. Like, hey, we'll see you in the Final Four. In my humble opinion.
Well, they were going to be in the Final Four no matter what region they got put in.
Yeah, but this is an easy region, I think. I mean, to me, in my amateur eye, Taylor, I'm not like, oh, wow. I mean, Duke is not that good this year.
Yeah.
Right?
First glance, I don't know that the West is that much more difficult. I think Missouri.
On the way in here, you were telling me Marquette's like one of the best teams ever assembled.
God, why do you keep putting words in my mouth? Nobody said Baylor's a walkover, and I did not praise Marquette that much. I said that they are a worse matchup for UNLV than Baylor is. This is a good matchup for UNLV potentially in the second round or third round, whatever they're calling it now. That's a three seed that they want to play because Baylor is extremely talented, but constantly underachieving, and that's one that could easily slip up. Marquette is a much more disciplined team that would be able to just knock UNLV around.
If you put Marquette and Baylor playing each other, Marquette would be favored by – I mean, Baylor, I think, would be favored by four.
No, absolutely. You're wrong. I'm calling Case after this.
Just ask him indirectly and ask him. Okay. You're right, though. That West is a pretty weak league, region. I mean, Michigan State should rock and roll through that, right?
Michigan State, especially, they're playing so well. Draymond Green. I really hope that Michigan State and Missouri make it. That's the 1 and 2 seed there. I hope they make it, get the chalk there so that we can see that game. Because maybe it actually wouldn't end up being that good a game because Missouri's greatest weakness has been interior play, and maybe Draymond Green would just destroy them. But those are two teams I've really enjoyed watching all year. I really think that that New Mexico Long Beach State game, the Lobos not happy with their draw whatsoever, and I think with good reason. San Diego State and UNLV, I think both got a little bit better as far as the draw. They're both sixes, so they're one seed down.
Yeah. So even though New Mexico's a five seed, they're probably hurting because they're hosting a pod. So they get you're right. Long Beach State could definitely score. Let's be honest, though. Steve Alford complains at everything.
About everything. Yeah.
The air in the gym is on too high. You guys are intentionally trying to alter our shots. you gave us orange flavored Gatorade. We wanted the lemon lime. Whatever he could come up with.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. UNLV specifically, Taylor, obviously, depending on who you listen to, they overachieved early, and then the bar got set a little high. They've kind of tapered off a little bit, 6-5 the rest of the way. In my opinion, if they win a game in this tournament, it's already a success. I mean, it'd be a successful season. What's your general take on just the state of the team? I mean, obviously, they're playing in the tournament. They've got the best seed they've had in 3 years. They've got to be, in my opinion, ecstatic.
They are. And especially this was the South region was the first one that was announced. Mm-hmm. And so they didn't have to wait long. It was just, all right, we know we're in. We know where we're playing. We know who we're playing. And this, they even said coming in, they thought six was their best case scenario. They've probably had nightmares about dropping to that 8-9 again. Mm-hmm. They are thrilled with this game. Justin Hawkins is going to get to play a former high school teammate for Colorado, and so there's a nice storyline there. They're just really, really happy. They feel like they have another chance. It's similar to the talk of did you just put UNLV as your national champion?
Six in a row. That's what Chip Buchanan told us.
And yet you didn't even fill out that region.
So I skip right ahead.
But yeah, they're thrilled with all of this. The talk after the announcement was kind of similar to what they sounded like during the multiple chances that they had at first place in the conference. Just, you know, we another season, we're getting another shot at it here. And that's what they feel with this. Will it turn out differently? They certainly hope so. But the fact that it's really the best case scenario, they're feeling really good right now. And it's just a question of their level of play. You know, does the New Mexico game spell, you know, kind of where they're at right now, or can they ramp it up a bit, get Moser going? Hopefully Chase can hit some shots. You know, can they find the groove that they had at home in a neutral environment? That's been the question for a while now, and that's still we're not going to be able to answer that until we actually see him play.
For me, it's sweet redemption for UNLV. It starts last year, the Illinois game in the tournament, absolutely blown out, and now you come into this year, and it's just been, you know, especially the last month, it's been, well, UNLV's not physical enough. UNLV is awful on the road. UNLV has just one superior player, one and a half superior players. That's me. That's my comment. And for them, I think it's new life. It's an opportunity to kind of prove some of those naysayers wrong. And I think another thing that is kind of overlooked is that, you know, 68 teams get to play in this tournament. And there's a lot of people that aren't in it right now. And you really got the sense today that the players realized how fortunate they were. I mean, you grow up, you want to play in this thing. I don't care if you're a high school basketball player or not. You want to get a chance to play Thursday afternoon, Friday afternoon, and have that one magical moment or whatever CBS deems it
as. One shiny moment.
Same thanks. Magical is one of my favorite words of all time.
Really?
I don't know what it is, but whenever I hear magical, I think like Mickey Mouse and Disney and success. So UNLV is going to have a chance to have its one shining moment. Crazier things have happened. Folks are already looking forward to weekend number two when UNLV is going to get a rematch with Duke. The 91 Final Four loss and the 90 championship win. That's going to dominate headlines all week, I'm sure. Who cares about breaking down Colorado, right?
No. What are you...
I just love. I'm on Twitter. I'm on message boards before the show, and it's like, oh, Baylor, what a great, they're awful. UNLV, Duke.
I don't think I saw one person say that Baylor's awful. You're taking the naysaying of Baylor to a hyperbolic level.
I'm exaggerating. I mean, I can't figure out why Baylor to me look.
I told you this. They have the talent to be the absolute best team in the country, and they're a 3-seed. What does that tell you? They are constantly underachieving. Scott Drew knows how to bring them in and has not been able to do much with them besides that.
I semi-disagree with you. I know that he's considered in Big 12 country awfuls and X's and O guy. I don't dispute that. But I think you should be able to agree with me that it's not as bad as when he first started, that he's getting better.
He's also gotten better players. So I don't know how much credence I get.
One of those players, just to note, Pierre Jackson from Desert Pines High, right here in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yep, there you go.
In case you were wondering.
Another little storyline for a possible third round matchup.
Third round. I don't know what to expect. Listen, for me, I mean, you've been doing these brackets. I've been doing these brackets for a while. Dude, after day one, I'm like embarrassed to even take mine out of my desk drawer. So I feel like very awkward talking about this, but UNLV can who knows what's going to happen, especially after what happened last year.
Yeah, who knows what to expect, but as far as possibilities go, this was like the best one. It was, like we said, the best seed that they could get, the best location, and on paper, a good draw. A team that they can beat in the second round, and then possible good matchup for the upset in the third round.
Like, and
they have to deliver, and there are going to be so many questions about what they can do based on this year, especially at the end of the season, and what they've done in the past NCAA tournaments with against Illinois and Northern Iowa.
Who they were both supposed to beat as well.
Ali Farouk Manesh.
Just to let you know, folks, he's a Northern Iowa fan.
That I am. Okay. I was at that game.
Were you?
Yeah, I was. I was working.
Working. Yep. Okay. UNLV, we're going to go just before we let you guys go, we're going to give you our predictions. First, we're going to go, what does UNLV have to do to beat Colorado? Parlay to how far do you think UNLV is going to go? Would you like me to go first so you could kind of think about it?
I would. I'd like to have time to look at Colorado a little more. I've tried to avoid watching Pac-12 basketball this year.
Yeah, this is just instantly what do they have to do to beat Colorado. Right. Okay, here's what I think UNLV needs to do, and I've said this before. This is no secret for me. Chase and Mike need to play good at the same time. UNLV is a drastically different team when their two leading scorers are leading them in scoring. It takes a lot more pressure off guys that aren't as good as them. Their two alpha dogs need to be alpha dogs. If that happens, if UNLV could get to its running ways, which Colorado won't let them do, it's, you know, they beat Arizona 52-50, I think. I think they're going to have a chance. To beat Baylor, I think Baylor's going to run with them, which scares me as a UNLV grad.
Why is that a bad thing? That's how UNLV wants to play.
I know that's how they want to play. I'm going to tell you this, though, and you said it yourself. Baylor is better players.
Yes, they do.
Better players run better. Trust me, I've been at the rec center with guys that can run good. It's just I wouldn't want to put UNLV-Baylor into a track meet because I think UNLV would take second in that track meet. And I think UNLV beats Colorado and loses to Baylor by double digits. My pick.
Oh, no way. I think they'll beat Colorado. The main thing I want to see is I want to see Moser on the boards. Because getting out-rebounded is something that can haunt them late in the second half.
Killed them against New Mexico.
Yeah. Well, New Mexico dominated them twice on the boards. It's just if you can control that, they're going to be able to get out to some of their transition because they're going to be able to force turnovers. So they can get points that way. But as long as he's working on the defensive glass, it doesn't even matter offensive so much. Just make sure – limit Colorado's second chance, and then I think UNLV will be fine. Second game, like you said, track meet. Baylor's got the better athletes, but they're not great decision makers, and I think UNLV plays better defense. Now, I haven't seen more than probably three Baylor games.
Are you saying
this
Sweet
year.
16?
No.
Okay, so they're losing to Baylor then.
I think they lose to Baylor in a close game. I'd go four or five. Just shy, but enough to give UNLV fans hope for the next year. So that is the Rebel Room. We will talk to you from Albuquerque. For Ray Brewer, I'm Taylor Byrne. We'll see you later.